want to preach out of the gospel, but I'd like to say one brief word about the epistle today. It's a very idealistic view of the world, isn't it? It says here, an unmarried man is anxious about the things of the Lord and how he may please the Lord. Well, church, would that it would be so, amen? It says here that a married man is anxious about the things of the world and how he may please his wife. Let the married women of the congregation say amen, all right? An unmarried woman is anxious about the things of the Lord. Would that it would always be so. And a married woman is anxious about the things of the world and how she may please her husband. Well, go ahead, married man. Take your turn. Say amen. But again, of course, Paul is saying that there is a place for celibacy in church. Most are called to marriage. But again, there is a place for celibacy. That's what he's saying. For folks like me who dedicate their life completely and wholly to the service of the church and the Lord. And I am not an unmarried man. I do not think of myself that way. I have a spouse. I have a very large family. And I thank God for that. So I certainly do not think of myself as unmarried, but rather my spouse is the church. And as I say, a large and wonderful family is my gift. Deacon, before I go any further, I see people getting kind of chilly in here. Would you put the heat up a little? Thank you. Let everyone say amen. All right. I'd like to talk to you today on this topic from the gospel. From mad and sad to glad. A portrait of prophetic preaching. Now, as I speak about preaching, I do not want you to think, well, I'm only talking about someone like myself who has a pulpit. It's a nice little pulpit, don't you think so? But you have a pulpit in your kitchen, at your dining room table, your living room, at work. All of us are called to be God's prophets. All of us are called to preach the Word of God. And so I think today, as we look at Jesus, and I ponder my own role as a preacher of God's Word, and I hope that you'll include yourself as you are also, from your pulpits, a preacher of God's Word. From mad and sad to glad, a portrait of prophetic preaching. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that prophetic preaching is personal. It says here that Jesus came to the synagogue on the Sabbath day at Capernaum, and it says that he taught. It says there that the people were astonished with his teaching because he spoke as one who had authority, and not like their scribes. Now, how did the scribes preach, you might wonder? Well, the scribes tended to play it safe. Scribes quoted other scribes.
As Rabbi Eleazar has long ago said, blah, 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 blah.
As Rabbi so-and-so has said. They tended to kind of stick to the boilerplate, stick to the prescribed text. But Jesus, you see, preached with authority. You have heard that it was said by the rabbis of old, but I say to you. Now, this word, authority, the Greek word is exousia. It means to speak out of one's own substance, out of one's own being. Another way of understanding this word authority, as I've said to you before, that in English, you hear the word author in authority. Now, in order to be able to preach with authority, church, you've got to know the author. You can't just quote what Saint so-and-so said. Now, by the way, that's precious. I hope you know the wisdom of our ancestors. I hope you know and have read some of the great lives of the saints. I hope you know and can quote what great saints of the Bible said. I hope you know all those things. But it's not enough to simply say, I heard that Saint so-and-so said, or my preacher said, or my mother said. Question, churches, what do you say? You have heard that it was said, and I say to you. Now, I have tried in my own preaching through the years to not simply stay outside the text and quote and quote and just, but I've tried to get into the text and be in the text with you. You see, church, we're in this text. This is our story. And you have had men and women in your own life. Maybe it was your father or mother or grandmother or a grandfather, an uncle, a good friend, someone who could speak to you from their own wisdom and experience. They weren't just quoting slogans. They weren't just saying what you'd heard someone else say. They were speaking to you because they knew what they were talking about. I don't just mean intellectual knowing. They had had good experience. And out of that experience, exousia in the Greek, out of their own being, out of their own substance, they could speak. And so it is that we're all called to reflect deeply in our life. You know, too many people today, because of the rushed and hurried lives that we have, too many people just don't reflect on their life and what it means, what it adds up to. What am I doing with my life? How has God worked in my life? What is my testimony? I am a witness. You see, it's not enough to go to our children and grandchildren and say, you ought to go to church. We ought to say that. But maybe we could do it something like this. You ought to be in God's house every Sunday. And I know it's true. Because let me tell you what the Lord has done for me in all my years of staying faithful to the sacraments, faithful to His Word, faithful to prayer. Oh, there was a time in my life when I was away from the Lord, but now that I've gotten closer, I have a testimony, I have a story to tell. You see, I'm in this gospel. You're in this gospel. We're in the synagogue. Maybe it's the synagogue of your family or at work. Someone needs to be able to say to someone else, you have heard that it was said, and I also say to you. That's what it means to preach with authority, to be able to speak as a first-hand witness. I know that the Lord is alive because He's ministering to me. He's changing my life. I've read it in the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's the source. But it's not just in the book anymore. It's in my heart. It's in my life. I know that Jesus is real. And I know, like we sang this morning, that everything is going to be all right. Not just because it sounds nice to say, not just because it's sort of something you ought to say, but because I've experienced in my own life that God never fails. I am a witness. Oh, our young people are waiting for first-hand testimony, a first-hand witness. Teaching with authority. Be able to know your story. Testify to what you have seen and heard. This cloud of witnesses, they testify. But brothers and sisters, we have to be able to testify with them personally in a convincing manner. I say to you, look at my life. My life is changing because God is real. The old gospel song says, why don't you testify? Well, why don't you? But that means we've got to do some reflecting, doesn't it? So, the first thing in this portrait of prophetic preaching is that it is personal, that we preach with authority. That is to say, out of our own substance. Now the next thing about prophetic preaching, and here's where we get from the mad and the sad to the glad. The next thing, not only is prophetic preaching personal, but it's provocative. Now, the word provocative means to call forth a response. You see, when someone is provocative, you can't just sit there and remain neutral. You gotta make a response. Well, whatever, church, you do with the Word of God, whether it makes you mad or makes you sad or makes you glad, just don't remain neutral. And if you're going to preach the Word of God, just remember, the Word of God has an edge to it. I believe the Bible says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It doesn't just sit there on the pages of a book. It pierces right to the very bone. Oh, the Word of God. It can make you mad, it can make you sad, or it can make you glad. But don't stay neutral.
Very interesting idea up there. I think that's an interesting idea.
No. Get in there, wrestle with it. Now, what I mean, notice, as Jesus is preaching, it says that someone in the synagogue who had a demon, church, look out, that's us. Someone in the synagogue who had a demon started to get angry. It says here, this man with an unclean spirit cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, sometimes when you're doing prophetic preaching, some folks get mad. Hello? I've been in this pulpit, and after this mass, or after a mass, I go on out there, and someone come up to me and said, what are you talking like that for? Now, luckily, we have a good congregation here, open to the Word of God. Not too often does it happen. Someone might say in a more friendly way, "You were stepping on my toes." It's a friendly way of acknowledging that there's a little provocative quality to the Word of God, all right? But it's good to know, you see, it's all right to make people wrestle a little bit with their conscience, to provoke a response. You see, every now and then someone will come to me and say, "Well, I said this or that to someone and they got mad." And the kind of the implication is, I must have done something wrong. Not necessarily. Just because you say and teach the Word of God and someone gets mad doesn't mean you did anything wrong. See, Jesus is preaching today and someone gets awful mad in that congregation and they start shouting. Just to prove that preaching the Word of God doesn't mean you did something wrong, how many of you know that Jesus never sinned? But look what they did to Him. They got a little mad at Jesus. Amen? Look what we did to Him. I'm not saying that we're out to intentionally make anyone mad when we prophetically preach God's Word, but I'm just saying that expect that it's going to happen. Because you know, some folks don't like to hear the truth. Some folks get angry. But that's all right. Because you see, sometimes we're in a process of going from mad and sad to glad. Sometimes it takes a little stirring up of the water. Sometimes it takes a little shaking of the ground to get someone to reorder their life. But that's what brings them to ultimate happiness. And I don't know about you, but I can only testify that I used to get so mad at my parents. Teaching me I had to clean up after myself. Teaching me I shouldn't be greedy. Teaching me I had to eat all my vegetables. Teaching me I had to go to school when I didn't feel like it. I was mad and I was sad. But now, after the fruit of what they've taught me, praise the Lord, I'm glad. they said to me, you will do it whether you like it or not. Praise the Lord. Because I learned self-discipline. Because I learned that life isn't just about what pleases me. It's about what is right. So you see, hang in there with somebody if they're mad at you.
Oh, there you go again.
All right, hang in there with them. Because sometimes they're mad and they're sad, but someday they may be glad. So again, brothers and sisters, if you want to be a prophetic preacher, expect some angry responses every now and then. Expect someone to say, what were you saying? Expect someone to even turn on you and call you harsh and critical and judgmental. It's all right. It's part of the landscape. It happens to the best of preachers. And how many of you know that Jesus was the best of preachers? And yet, look, someone in this synagogue is mad and sad. It's going to happen. Now, you know, we can learn how to put a little honey in with the vinegar every now and then. We can kind of use a little humor, and we can develop some techniques that... But in the end, you can't take the edge off of God's Word. And don't try to do it, because you're not going to be faithful to it. There are just some things that have to be said, whether people want to hear it or not. The world's going to be angry. But you know, I think that the world is as angry as it is with the church and the scriptures, because deep down inside, they know that we're right. So again, good prophetic preaching is personal, it's provocative, and the third thing is it is powerful. Listen to what happens. Jesus has been preaching. A demon has been awakened in a man. A good preaching will do that. It'll awaken the demons in us. And the protests begin. And our gears start to turn. And we say, what's that preacher talking about up there? It's all right. Because you can go from mad and sad to glad if you hang in there with Jesus. And so Jesus says to this man, Jesus rebuked the demon in this man. He said, quiet! The Greek here is he moved. Means be muzzled. Put a sock in it. Be muzzled. Quiet. Come out of the man. Hallelujah, church. Anyone bring any demons in this church today? We all have our demons. And at some level, after years of preaching, have any of you seen some demons go away? You see, I hope that you understand, it's not Charles Pope who's preaching in this pulpit, it is Jesus Christ. And if you are faithful to the Word of God, you might bring demons into this church with you. We all do. But church, in the end, the Lord, after preaching and provoking these demons in us, finally he says to these demons, quiet! Come out of him! Come out of her! Quiet! And it says here, the unclean spirit convulsed him. Church, healing is not always easy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. The unclean spirit convulsed the man, and with a loud cry, that's the protest. How dare you preach like that? With a loud cry, came out of him. All were amazed, and they said again to one another, look at this, a new teaching with authority. He commands, and even the unclean spirits obey him. Now, again, I hope that after years of preaching in this congregation and others, that some folks have experienced real healing. Not because I was eloquent, but because I was faithful. I hope so. You pray that this preacher who stands before you is faithful to God's Word. Because if I am faithful, I promise you, demons are going to come out of me and they're going to come out of you. And they may come out screaming, they may come out convulsing, but they're going to come out. And again, I am a witness. The Lord, after years of preaching in church, I am stiff-necked, thick-skulled, and obstinate, and so it takes a lot of preaching to get through to Charles Pope. But after 25 years of preaching, preaching, because I've only been serious about my spiritual life for 25 years. But 25 years later, I can say the Lord has done wonderful things in my life. There were some demons I used to have that I don't have anymore. Oh, they came out convulsing. Oh, they came out shrieking. But they came out. Hallelujah, church. This is the ultimate aim and goal of prophetic preaching. Church, don't try to win an argument. That is not why we preach God's word. We preach God's word for healing. Sometimes there has to be tough medicine to bring the healing. But in the end, if you are faithful to God, and I am faithful, we will bring healing to others and experience it ourselves. That's what prophetic preaching does. It's not just information, it's transformation. Well, I need to stop. I've already gone on too long, and we got started to, you know, it's had a long liturgy. So let me just say to you, by way of conclusion, that I have it on the best of authority that when this man was set free of the demon, that he started singing some gospel songs. He started singing, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply staying within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, and now safe am I. See, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me." Oh, he kept on singing. He said, "I'm so glad Jesus lifted me. I'm so glad. Satan had me bound, but Jesus lifted me. Pick me up. Turn me around. And Jesus lifted me." Oh, and he went on to sing, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." You see, church, he went from mad and sad to glad. And that is a portrait of prophetic preaching. Amen.